Blog Talk Radio. Today is Monday, February 5th, 2018, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Master Your Mindset Monday. Yep, that's what today is, a day set aside on Foxology, usually, not always, but usually the first Monday of each month. And what we do is walk around the corners of our minds and talk about what we see, and you know it can be the stuff you usually see in a corner, like a little dust or something. We take time on days like this to kind of do a little dusting, I guess, for lack of a better word. So what we're going to do is look at those thoughts and say, no more dusty thinking, no more pushing thoughts into a corner. Let's deal with them. That's what we do on Master Your Mindset Monday. So let's get into those corners and do a little sweeping today. Let's get to the heart of matters and polish up the corners of our minds with some fresh new thinking, with some new thoughts about ourselves and our lives and how we live them. That's what we do, as I said today. And I'm saying it again, make sure you listen the next time we're doing it. We want to get those flames in your mind rekindled. So we're talking mind, body, and soul workouts today. How important is that on a daily life, on our daily lives? Sound good? Well, my radio BFF TV host and superstar RRR Cassandra McShepherd joins me today to talk about the great Shape Up workouts for the mind, body, and soul. Welcome, Cassandra.
Silver, always a pleasure, always a pleasure. I'm listening to your intro and thinking that oftentimes it is January 1st-ish that those plans are made in the form of resolutions. But you and I both know that it is never a bad time to change your mind, never. And you can resolve to do a new thing, to shape up any day.
Well, you know, we are on the same page as usual, because the other part of my intro is that most of us are still in our resolution mode. So I thought today's topic would definitely be fitting, and that is a play on words, fitting. You know, they say that most resolutions have crashed and burned by mid-February, so I do think it's really appropriate for us to continue our talks on this, probably even through March, just to keep ourselves and others are motivated. And, you know, I'm hoping that that's the case with anybody who's listening. And as I said, that those flames will stay hot in us and burning and motivated, and it's not rekindled at least. So we're going to talk about that for a few minutes, mind, body, and soul, and getting the great shape up. Well, one of the things I thought, you know, about this is that, And it's not new. Probably a lot of what we say isn't new, but it definitely has its tones of, I would say, uniqueness, just based on our experience and our own thought patterns about how we do life, Cassandra. But the first thing I have, you know, I talk about the mind, you know, mental calisthenics and exercise in our mind. I have stretch of thinking. And one of the things that came to me is the amount of information that's all around us every day from so many sources. And online, it's just more blown up than ever. And there's TV and there's radio and there is talking to other people. And there are so many new trains of thought and patterns of thinking. And one of the things I think, and I do this pretty frequently, when I hear things that are interesting or new or unique, I ponder it. And that's what I'm meaning by stretching your thinking. Because I think if we are bombarded with today's current thinking about most stuff, we may buy into a lot of what's not real truth, that thing they've been saying about alternative facts, all kinds of information that really is unhealthy. And if we want to have a healthy mind, then we got to have healthy thoughts and healthy thinking. So stretching our thinking, I think one of the best things that we can do, rather than latching on to the things that we hear day in and day out because it sounds good or it sounds right or it may sound like it's even the truth, it just makes sense for us to become more critical in our thinking, to become more wise in how we look at things and realize that there is more than one observation. There's more than one way to look at a thing rather than what information may be, you know, pushed down into our minds and told to us that we need to believe and accept. Cassandra?
Oh, sorry. I'm listening to what you were saying. And one of the sayings that is so important to me, so real, came to mind, and that is, thoughts are things. This is from the first line in my very favorite book, Key to Yourself by Venus Bloodworth. And it is absolutely critical to stretch your thinking. And what I'm about to say almost sounds contrary to that, but it's not really. I think about, as you said, all of the noise that we are privy to, that we are burdened by, that we cannot in so many ways even avoid or escape. And I want to remind people that noise carries toxins like airborne diseases that seep into the cracks of us. And we begin to act and react and believe certain things that really have nothing to do with us. And so when you say stretch your thinking, I am so all about that. I am about going to get information versus being susceptible to any noise that anybody wants to shower on me. I'm very, very adamant about standing at the doorway of my mind to make sure that there is a filter, to filter the noise that I cannot avoid, and to make sure that I am feeding myself something of substance to stretch and to think upon. Thinking is the prelude to everything. It's critical.
It absolutely is. I have a note that I made that says if your thoughts are not tight, and again, that's another play on words, your body and your soul may not be right. Your thoughts really have to be tight. Everything comes from that. Everything that we do, everything, every action, every other thing that's playing out in our lives is coming out of our thought patterns, and we really do need to pay close attention. I think there's a school of thought that will want to believe that there's no control, that there's no way of gauging, that there's no way of training yourself is when it comes to thinking. But that's just so not true, people. It's not true.
Well, no, if you're following every lead and buying into everything that somebody is saying, you don't have time to train yourself. You can't even imagine. I'm sorry to cut you off, Silver. I just want to interject. There was a time that a friend said to me, and she was, you know, relating some information that was going on in the world, and she said, "You need to know about this. You don't need to be ignorant about this. Ignorant of this." And you know, me and my 20-something year old self sat and listened. I didn't really care, but me and my and having grown into myself, I would say, no, I don't. No, I don't need to know about this. And be so okay with my decision to determine what I filter and what I process and what I ponder. So we really have to be careful, because all noise ain't news.
That's right. That's right. And I want to bring up another thing about reshaping. our paradigm. And I say this, and it's broad, because when we're talking about a paradigm, we're talking about the repetitions of ideas, actions, and, again, how we're living out our life, what we see things, why we're doing what we're doing. And a lot of it is because these have been patterned in us. It's been instilled,
yes.
And it's the way that we've been taught to believe something. And I just want to share something, because I think when it comes to relationships, all kinds, when it comes to career and work and with all the connections we have when we get up in the morning and go into the day, paradigm is so critical to understand. And I want to just use a simple story, and I'm paraphrasing it. I was trying to remember where I had heard this story, but I don't. But there was a family who every Thanksgiving got together, and they, of course, would have a turkey. And one of the real special things for them was that through the years, they had always used great-grandma's roasting pan to cook the turkey. So year after year, they got together, and it was a real special and momentous thing, just even getting together and thinking about they're using great-grandma's old roasting pan. Well, one year, they had gotten a turkey that wouldn't fit into the roasting pan. And it was such a big turkey, there was just no way it was going to happen. And so for most everybody involved in the preparation of the food really was struggling that we can't cook this. What are we going to do? We can't cook it in grandma's pot. And it was really a very hard thing for them to deal with at that moment. It was like every other decision that could be made wasn't being made until somebody said, we're going to have to get a bigger roasting pan. That's how we're going to do this. And that was real hard, because there was so much sentimental value attached to the years, great-grandma's roasting pan. But it was either get a smaller turkey or get a bigger pan. And the decision was made to get the bigger pan. And I bring that story up to show us all that where we struggle sometimes are in those same arenas with sentimental values, with issues of emotion and other things that keep us from progressing in the paradigm we need to create, that may create larger territory in our life, may create a more dynamic pathway for us to go into. We have to reshape our thinking. Did you have to get rid of great-grandma's pot? No, I'm sure a lot of cooking still took place in it. But the point is, when you reach that pivotal point in your life where it means reshape your thinking, reshape your paradigm, reshape the way I think, you may find yourself right in the brink, on the brink of a breakthrough to things that you just didn't realize were possible. So reshaping paradigm is critical. And I really hope the point got across with that little story, because I know I never forgot it. I'm paraphrasing it, but you get the gist of it. What say you, Cassandra?
You know, I say that first, I guess you've got to figure out or give some thought to whether you're going on or not, whether you have a push-on, move-through mentality, or whether you are okay. And this is probably something that we determine about ourselves more so than decisions that we make. It's kind of how you see how you've been and then prayerfully decide to get a go-on-with-it attitude. As you say, all things ceased because tradition was challenged and there was no answer within that. I'm like, cut the bird in half and cook it in two sittings. What difference does it make, really? But it depends upon whether or not. And if you are about going on or overcoming, then everything is about how can it work. You know, Silver, the way my mind works is expediting things. I look at
level, and how can I, and how would I do it, and basically just about fixing it. So situations like that don't necessarily stop me, though they are real. It reminds me of a story that you presented when you and I were doing radio about the cow on the train. There was a cow on the railroad track, and the train was coming, and the train came to a stop, and people didn't know what to do. I'm like, get a chainsaw and cut out the cow and keep it moving. So we have to get a – if we realize that we have not, and by that I mean that if we have allowed things to stop us. Now, do you just need to move aimlessly? No. Where are we going? Where we want to be. And if where you want to be is on the other side of the roasting pan or the cow and the train, you got to have a keep it moving mentality. And how that is expedited is specific to the situation. But the bottom line is this where you / your story stops? No, then keep it moving.
For sure, for sure. So it just means that when it comes to shaping up the mind, got to remember that there always is a better set of ideas, actions, repetitions that can enhance your thinking and how you live. Number two, let's talk about the body. It won't take as much emphasis because everybody understands the whole idea about exercising. And I really literally mean in regard to keeping the body in shape. But I have written down be flexible. One of the things that just really messes with my head is when I hear time after time, everybody's got an absolute plan for everybody how to stay fit. And that's just not a reality when it comes to a 20-year-old versus a 70-year-old, a 50-year-old versus an 80-year-old, or anywhere in between. I think it really is critical for anybody to understand, of course, exercise really does impact the body. Let there be no mistake about that. It will definitely increase your bone health, your muscle health, your strength, your endurance, all of that. It's really real. If we can grasp that, you can't really come up with a reason why you shouldn't do it unless you just for some reason are physically incapable of doing so. Of course, there are circumstances that are very much in that category. However, realize that exercising, it does incredible things for your body. But be flexible. One of the things I like to share is that you don't want to kill yourself trying to live longer by exercising. Some things work for some people, and some people it is not going to work. There are people who are marathon runners. They're pro athletes. They are people who are bodybuilders. That whole level that whole level is something else. I'm really not talking to those people, to the average person who just wants to maintain a feeling of well-being by using exercise. Do what works. Sometimes it's 10 minutes a day. For some, it's twice a week. Do what works for you. Doing something is better than doing nothing. And the other thing I want to say, and Cassandra, you come on and share your thoughts. Remember that you cannot eat unhealthy all the time and be healthy. It's just the formula is a failing formula. You cannot eat unhealthy all the time and be healthy. I love certain foods that I never ever bring into the place where I live, because I would just go through cookies and ice cream and cake and other things like you would not believe, because it's here. Not because I'm just so loving it, because if I loved it like that, I would have it here. But I developed certain disciplines, and they started well into my 30s when I started eliminating things that I wanted to have exposure to as far as my health. And I'm still eliminating things right now, today, at this age, that I feel are unhealthy. I just gave up
chicken for the second time. I'm not going back on it again because of the antibiotics and the hormones. I'm just not feeling like some of the meals that I'm eating out, there's real chicken in it. It's some kind of genetically modified creature that is being put into the foods. I believe a lot of these things are some of the things that are causing diseases and cancer. And as I continue to investigate what I'm eating, I will continue to eliminate things. Does it mean that I will live longer? Perhaps. That's not the point. But I want to live well while I am living. Cassandra?
Yeah, I will pick this up actually where I left the last statement off, keep it moving. The body is designed to heal. It is designed, it's incredibly brilliant, the encasing that holds us. It's designed to heal itself. It's designed to do whatever we ask it to. And age is not the issue. The issue is what you ask yourself to do. It's an amazing thing to find out that if you keep moving, you can keep moving. As you know, Silver, I've worked as a personal trainer, physical trainer, and for many, many years, and know this to be a fact. The fountain of youth is in moving your body. Now, as you said, any body, especially selling something, a package or a product or something, will tell you that this is the thing that really works. The thing that really works is the thing that you do, period. And as you said also, what you choose to eat is critical. It is said that weight is lost in the kitchen, not the gym. But as we talk about a holistic approach to you, these things are so incredibly important. I think about a woman that I know who is so professionally, financially successful that it is, it's a real tribute to her, the work that she's done, and a wonder to many. But she is so disconnected with her body. And I know her well enough to know that that speaks to such levels of insecurity in her professional life. And I wonder, what is the disconnect? Why can you not? That's not the way I want to say. I guess what is the disconnect? And in her situation, I don't know everybody's, but in her situation, there is no medical reason that she cannot make better choices. As a matter of fact, she has from time to time and lost the amount of weight so she could step into the life she was living authentically. But it is so important because I have not seen a holistic presence when one of the things or any one of these things is out of whack. And the good news is, can be. You just got to keep it moving. Little steps in each arena every day. Little choices. Mm-hmm. Give up chicken. Park further away. It matters. It matters. They say that what? Sitting is the new smoking. That's okay.
I like that.
Yes.
Well, you know, as I said earlier, your thoughts are not tight, your body and your soul may not be right. So we're talking about that whole investigative process, and we have a few minutes where we can talk about the last, but certainly not the least of the three, and that's our soul. And I believe that our souls need constant conditioning. And what do I mean by soul? Well, I'm talking about the spiritual you. You know, how are you treating it? Are you giving it ample amounts of nourishment, the right type of nourishment again? Because sometimes we just leave our spirit open again, like our mind, to every single thing that's coming at us. And the next thing we know, it's kind of toxic in there. It's kind of crazy in there. And we kind of are not knowing what to do because there's so much unrest in that deeper place in us that's really a very alive and real thing. And so, you know, you can experience a real actual fullness when you are nourishing yourself right. What is that? Again, there are ways. I can talk to you about what other people do. I can talk to you about what I do. I know that I spend as much time as I possibly can in a quiet place. And I don't mean quiet necessarily atmospherically, but try to be centered, place where I feel the stillness and quiet within myself that I need to. And when I'm in that place, I'm able to think about all the other things in a much more logical, wise way, and also get a tremendous amount of ideas and ways to work out other things in my life and in my plan. So that may work for you. It may not. I read healthy things. I expose myself to a healthy listening. I try to create as much calm around my life as I can. There is so much chaos just naturally that occurs in the life of anybody. So I try to expose myself to as much calmness as I possibly can create in my own situations. And sometimes right in the middle of things that are going on, it may mean that you may have to make yourself absent to go to a place, not in the way that's ugly, that says, I can't deal with you all, and, you know, I can't deal with this, and not that kind, but the kind that if you're at work, you need to go back to your desk and just, you know, not respond to a situation, just get yourself focused on what is a healthy thing and all of that, right, rather than feasting on the negative things that are going on. Because those things are the things that are disturbing us spiritually and in our soul. Now, Cassandra, you have 3 minutes to respond.
Oh, you know you can't do that to me.
Let me see if I can do it like this. I found that to find spiritual peace, and there is none other, I had to cut the ties of Mama's religion. Of the old of the saints of the Most High, of church people, and I had to go for myself. I had to give myself permission and the freedom to research and pursue and enjoy a relationship with my source, myself. And it didn't have to look. Once I gave myself permit, once I did not make myself conform, it didn't have to look, sound, or make sense to anybody else, but my soul said yes. And even with that, and I've been rolling in that thing for 25 years now. So even with that, there are times when I go off the rails, when some of these other components aren't happening. But again, my foundation, which is all I've got, that's the gift. We are the gift that we've been given, and we have all the information and can develop the inclination to live this life to the fullest. But it takes these components that you're talking about. So every day is not just surviving, but thriving. It's not like today I just didn't die. So I'm still here. I got over today. Right. I kept it moving today.
Right, right. I want to say this in regard to that, and then I'm going to wrap. When we're talking about that soul place, I know a lot of people have days that are just so impacting with things. But I'm going to make a suggestion to you to get an hour earlier or half an hour earlier just to spend some time with yourself so that you can nurture that part of you. Or if you're one of those people who has difficulty sleeping, rather than remaining restless or ill at ease, take that time to do it. It's a perfect time. Cassandra, I want to thank you. And any of you who would like to know more about what she's going on, I'm going to be posting some things later. Cassandra's got a wonderful new project underway. But if you want to check her out, go to www.cassandrameckshepherd.com. She's also on TV every day, Monday through Friday, on Real Milwaukee as one of the co-hosts there. And I know you'll enjoy that as well. I want to thank you all for joining in today, and I hope you were able to get some good stuff out of this. You are doing a great shape up for mind, body, and soul. And I'm going to look forward to talking to you the next time. And in the meantime, be good, be blessed, be awesome.